tonight.
All right. It's all yours.
Okay, it's 6 o'clock. We'll call the work session order. Mr. Birch isn't here, so we're going to move the discussion on the ARPA, Health Rich Mental Health, and Ballinsville Central School District up. So, first of all, I wasn't here for some of the discussions, but that's why we have Greg Evans here from Bonadeo, who's an expert on this topic. We had discussions earlier about giving money to a foundation, and I think there was some discussion, well, not I think, there were some emails going back and forth between a couple of board members and yourself, and we've had discussions, and why don't you explain what we can do and what we can't do in relation to this type of funding.
Okay. So let me start by saying I think one of the keys to eligible ARPA expenditures is having a specific response to something. You know, whether it's public health, public safety, you know, the pandemic itself, lost revenue, all those type of things are eligible expenditures. And then the other overarching principle that, you know, the town of Lysander is going to fall under is revenue loss. You can, you know, they give you a blanket allowance for up to $10 million. So you can report everything under revenue loss and call it government services. But again, it has to be for a specific government service in that particular case. So I think one of the questions that I had through the conversations is a contribution to a foundation or a reserve fund is not a specific response. We're, you know, in general, we're looking for specifics as to what the plan for that expenditure is. You know, using the example of mental health services, if there was a specific contract for mental health services, I think you could make that connection there.
With the town, though.
Right, okay. Exactly. So my concern was a contribution to a foundation is sort of open-ended. We're not really sure what that's going to mean in terms of services. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Does to me.
So can I speak?
Yep, you're here. You can move up if you like. I mean, it's a little bit more casual.
Do you know what? I'm going to take my coat off. So we're not a foundation, we're 501c3.
Okay.
And it is for a very specific cause. And I think you could probably, if you did a resolution, you could make the resolution very, very, very specific. Because what we're trying to do, we're trying to fund two specific things in the Ballinsville School District. As a direct result of the pandemic. So right now, there's kids, if you've seen the special, the NBC3 special, which is very very enlightening as far as the issue and the problem from the pandemic with mental health. The Ballinsville School District did a behavior intervention monitoring assessment screen for the kids from age 7 to 12, or age grade 7 to 12. And they found that 20% of the kids are at risk of self-harm or suicide. And that's actually consistent with the CDC guidelines, whereby the CDC actually said that 9% of high school kids attempted suicide. So this is for a very specific cause. And I think whether it goes through that 501c3 or the school board, the town directly contracts with the vendors for the school district, such as Liberty Resources, or there's another vendor that we want to use for teen mental health programs. It doesn't have to go through me. I think it would be easier if it passed through my 501c3 as a payment. Then you don't have to do all the resolutions and spend a couple months.
Well, here's the thing about easy. We don't care about easy. The key for us, and I'm going to speak for myself, what we have to be careful about is that we can't have an expenditure that is probably going to go through, or it may be okay, or it might be okay. We have to be clear that what we are doing is as clear as we can be as far as the expenditure. So if there's any question about it, we shouldn't be doing it, because the town then becomes on the hook for that expenditure. If they come in, and the problem is, that's why we have Greg. He's an expert with ARPA. That's why we're asking him anytime we do any of these expenditures. I run it by him. I probably ask him five times on the same thing, and you know, a little differently, and make sure I'm getting that I'm clear. So we have to make sure that what we're doing is as close, at least 98% sure that we can do it. And if there's any question, we shouldn't be doing it, because we're putting an unfair burden on the taxpayers.
So I two things on that. And would you agree that the use of the ARPA funds would be highly appropriate for the need as a result of the direct result of the pandemic? Direct result of the pandemic with these kids. Absolutely. There was a suicide last month in Fayetteville, Maine.
I don't think you have to sell us on that. I think we understand what you're saying. And there's a lot of good foundations that could use ARPA funding. It's not like we're not saying that it isn't a legitimate or worthy, at least I'm not, worthy endeavor. I'm not saying that. I'm with you on that. Not a problem. The problem for us is, can we legally do it? That's the question.
So what about contracting directly with Liberty Resources, the vendor that's going to add the additional mental health clinic at Baker High School, to alleviate the problem that they have with over 30 kids on a 60-day wait list for services?
I don't know. That would be a question for Greg and for our attorney.
Go through me.
Right. Yeah, I think with any of these types of expenditures, I think the more specific you can get in terms of what is that service going to look like, when is it going to be provided, who is it going to be provided to, where is it going to be provided? All those specifics, if you can, put those in writing, then we can make a better evaluation.
Now, I have a question. We donated $50,000 to the Baldwinsville Ambulance Corps for the purpose of buying an ambulance that's $250,000. They don't have the money to buy the whole ambulance right now. So what if they don't buy the ambulance with that money? Do we get it back?
No, they do have the money to buy the ambulance, and they are going to buy the ambulance. They just needed this help them fund that, because they had a direct loss, and they can show the loss on as a direct result of COVID. And that is one of those, because it's public safety. That Greg and I have had numerous discussions on this,
right,
and explain why that's
right,
a valid expenditure.
Right. So yeah, that falls under that category. That falls under multiple categories of in terms of revenue loss, like Bob had said, government services. Those are pretty easy to connect. And again, you have a specific there, right?
But if they could buy the ambulance without our money, did they really need the money?
I'm
asking a question, because that's what you're saying to them. Rob wrote an email to the board that lays out a pretty specific direction for this money that I think the school district could probably finesse to actually put the money right where it's going to go, whether it's with Rob or without Rob. So I'm trying to wrestle in my head how I didn't see a P&L from the GBAC. Did you?
So this is
no. I'm asking. Did you see a P&L that showed a loss?
They part of their presentation was that they showed a loss because people.
Did we see it though before we spent the money?
No. Did we ask them for it?
Did
we
see
ask
it?
Them for it?
No.
Okay. Did you vote for it?
Yeah. And now I'm concerned. I'm absolutely concerned, because you're telling me we have to have a specific roadmap for something that we're not going to argue. All three of you have said it. We're not going to argue that it's a serious issue and it was caused by mental health or COVID. We got this money for COVID-related losses, and we're going to argue about how to use it.
Well, the other thing you got to keep in mind is whatever we do as a municipality is governed by state law. It's not governed by foundations or whatever. And specifically with regard to mental health, there's a provision in the town law that says we can support mental health under certain conditions. It's got to be with a, if it's for the school district, it's got to be guided by State Department of Mental Hygiene. And it's to the extent of $6,000 a year. It doesn't say you can give $25,000. Now, ARPA is a whole new world. We never had that before. But nonetheless, we're still restricted by what town law allows a municipality to do. We can only do what they say we can do, and we can't do what they say we can.
So town law allowed us to donate to the GBAC?
Yeah, because it's public welfare, public health, and goes
public safety.
Police powers.
Yeah.
Well, but I would say a student harming himself or others is public safety also. And mental health goes beyond suicide.
Then you go argue with the state legislature, because I'm not going to advise the board to do something that I think the state doesn't follow the state law. And I've talked to the attorneys for the state. You know, I told you I did that. And they can't say, oh yeah, that's okay, you can do that. Because you can't. There's a lot of things, it's no different than saying, well, the town, why don't we go give some money to some other organization because they really need it. You can do that if the organization falls within the purview of what we can do as a town. We're the responsibility, we have the responsibility of the taxpayers' money. That's why the legislature
right.
says you can only do what we tell you you can do.
Right.
And that's what we've got to follow. And there's a specific provision in town law and, for mental health.
And I understand it.
So
he gave a presentation and we're having a discussion on it.
Okay.
I was trying to understand how we could give somebody who didn't necessarily show a loss but was impacted by COVID that is going to now go to other towns and ask them for money for an ambulance, but I've told they can buy the ambulance already, so I don't, it's probably a hard sell to other towns that they really need the money at this point.
So Kevin, I want to get back to what I was going to say, and that is that, for starters, I don't want to pine one worthy organization against another worthy organization. That's not the way I would hold my argument. I would say, however, that the GBAC came in here and they did outline financial losses due to COVID. They outlined the number of calls that they had, the number of calls they previously would have had, number of calls they didn't have. They outlined the whole thing. There goes the revenue loss that our expert was talking about. And then the specifics about what they wanted to do with the money. They wanted to buy an ambulance. Another piece of criteria that they had to put before us. So the last thing I would say is we have an attorney, we have an ARPA expert, and my heart can be pulled in a million different ways, but I'm going with the experts. If the experts say there's gray area or there's a slightest bit of doubt in order to save the taxpayers from a future problem, I'm going to go with the experts. I'm not an expert on this. I'm going to listen to the people who are. And again, I'm not going to pine one worthy cause against another worthy cause. I'm not going to make that comparison. And I don't think you should.
Is the issue going through, it's not a foundation of 501c3. It's a nonprofit corporation. It's not an issue. Is the issue going through 501c3? Is that the problem?
The only thing I've seen are emails back and forth. So I haven't seen any plan put in writing to say, all right, these are the services that are going to be provided. And again, you know, the timeline for that and the service provider. That was my concern.
And can I haven't spoken yet.
I
don't want to belabor.
What exactly how the money was going to be used.
Okay.
Very, very specific. Resources.
Okay, well, you know, hold on a second. Let Mr. Gerasi get his point across.
You know, this is an uncomfortable discussion only because it sounds like we're criticizing your program, Rob, and we're not. I'm going to have to say for the record that I agree 100% with Mr. Wicks, Supervisor Wicks, and Councilor Moore here. We've got two advisors to the town who are saying this is gray, this doesn't look entirely appropriate. And I'm not going to support this because of that. And I don't want to belabor, I don't want to take any more of your time and Mr. Barbieri's time to discuss this. You've got a worthwhile and worthy program. And I might add, even though I don't think I have to in terms of defending my position, because it's just uncomfortable from an accounting fiduciary standpoint, but I might add that there are any number of charitable, really good organizations that would benefit from extra money, extra funding. And I'm not about to play favorites as a town board member. I'm just not going to do it. Because once we give to one charitable organization, there's going to be a list of others. And you're going to say, well, kids are going to kill themselves. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. There's lots of things that are out in society that are being helped by volunteers and charitable donations to make them happen. And I'm not going to support the board spending money in this fashion. I'm just not going to do it. And you can't talk me into it.
I'm not trying to, but with all due respect, you haven't answered my question. My question being, don't go through me.
Oh my gosh, you're not listening, Rob. I'm not going to support the program. I don't care who we go through. Our town attorney basically said, even if we wanted to do something, we have a $6,000 limit per year.
Does the school have their own mental health clinic?
They do.
What's the?
Four.
How much money do you put into that a year out of the budget? Yes.
Our school budget?
Yes.
For the mental health clinics is a one-time fee for the startup for each of the clinics in each of the buildings. That's why, you know, because we look at it from the perspective too, that, you know, that long-term cost. So it's a one-time fee. It was $10,000. I believe it's gone up a little bit. Once that's established, that's in there, and then everything is covered through the county at that point. Liberty Resources through insurance sliding scale for students.
Yeah, so that's my point. Even if we were looking to give it to Liberty, and I'm a little familiar with them, that maybe not on the accounting standpoint, but it was my understanding that they were subsidized by the county, and you had a startup cost of $10,000, which you already paid. Obviously, you've been. I think they're in every school other than one, maybe in the county. So where's the cost? Where would be the cost to? Even if we were thought that we would want to give money to them, where would be the cost? Because they're already subsidized by the county, which is paid by taxpayer dollars.
Just to clarify, each school district was allocated in the first round. If they didn't have a mental health clinic within their building, they were given a dollar amount for adding additional mental health counselors in each building.
Okay.
So we were ahead of that game as a district, so we have no more funding from the county for any additional startup. Anything from that point forward is on the district or some other, you know, source of revenue. So we have mental health clinics in each of the buildings, and we were looking to add additional in some of those buildings to have the need, because there's 30 seats per counselor, and that's just not enough. From a school district's perspective, we've added school counselors, SRPOs. That's where how we've utilized our ARP money to, you know, get some of those supports in place for students. And so, you know, I certainly when Rob reached out, I mean, we would absolutely, you know, look for additional support. So even if that's not possible, and there's a way, I mean, I was not aware, not prepared to speak, but. You know, the fact that there's the ability for $6,000 every year, I mean, is that something, as a joint effort, the town would be willing to do just to help support?
It wouldn't be $6,000 every year anyway, because now...
I mean, you have the ability to do that every year, apparently, right?
Theoretically, yeah.
Theoretically, right. So
it's a limit per year.
Right, and I'm not asking for that, but I do think, you know, in support of, if you have the ability, it would go a long way, I think, as far as a relationship and partnership between the town and the district, if that's feasible, to get at least one more mental health clinic and additional counselor in one of our buildings.
Where is that in your, I have a copy of your budget here, the one you handed out. Where's the mental health component in the budget? Is it in the administrative or program component or where?
As far as our budget?
Yeah. No, not our budget, the mental health funding. Where do you pay for it? What line, you know, in the
School district budget?
Yes.
It's a contractual code that, you know, we built in the general fund budget. So
it would
we
be,
choose to utilize, you know, when we were adding them, so we haven't had to recently. We've just pulled it out of a contractual budget line because it's a contractual agreement that we have with Liberty Resources for the one-time startup fee. After that, it's they're making their money based on, you know, the support that they're getting from the students that are there receiving those services.
So you don't have an annual?
We do not have an annual cost, no.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, we've looked, like, again, we try to, like, we're utilizing a lot of our ARP money to support some changes with, you know, not one-time expenses that we know, because we can't sustain that, right? So even with the SRPOs and the school counselors, we utilize that for funding this year, but we're building that into our general fund budget because that's going to go away, right? We're done.
Right, but you don't have annual costs associated with that, you just said, right?
Not with Liberty Resources. I'm just giving you an example of what we're doing in the district. For the school counselors and the SRPOs, there's an annual cost.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, I realize that, but
Liberty Resources is the one-time expense.
And they're the ones that are providing the mental health.
Correct. The mental health, actual licensed mental health counselors are working with students.
Right. The other stuff you're talking about, that I don't think would fall under what we were talking about with mental health. It has to be specific mental, and I'll ask this to you, Greg, specific mental health programs, so an SRO isn't included in that, and neither is the counselors. It would be Liberty.
Some of the other programs I think what Rob had mentioned too is we're looking to provide mental health first aid training for students at the high school level. So there would be a cost associated with that. You know, so whether we're getting funding through any other agency, I mean, we have to think about how we build that in. But that would be another mental health option for support that we're trying to build in for students at the mainly secondary level to start.
So the school district received ARPA money?
We did.
How much ARPA did you receive?
It was close to $12 million.
Okay. We received $1.9 million. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like Bob said, you know, we're putting in a position where it sounds like we're not in favor of some of these things, but we are. But you received $12 million. We received $1.9 million. We're trying to provide, you know, we have to do a fix a water main over by the fire site. That's $44,000. We have to fix a sewer district. We're looking to bring sewers to another area. And we have $1.9 million to do that. You have $12 million. So, I mean, if these were important things, and you have the ability to tax as well as we do, but we try, you know, we keep our tax rate down. We reduced our rate by 9% this year. The school district raised theirs by 3.99. Now, I'm not arguing that you need it or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, this puts a burden on the taxpayers too, which we're trying to keep down. And that's why with this ARPA money, we're trying to alleviate some of the issues that they have, like when we're putting in a water district, we're going to give them $100,000 out of ARPA money. Now that money starts to go quickly, but you know, you had six times what we had. You know, I think that if the school district chose to put some of that money into that, they had the money to do it.
And
I'm not saying you didn't, but you know, everybody has to make choices. So the school district did have ARPA money six times more than we have, and with some of these things, you know, we have to make hard choices as well. And again, you know, we're put in a difficult situation because I agree with Mr. Helfrich here. Listen, that's, you know, I've been on calls where kids have committed suicide. I've been there. I've investigated them, and it's a very disturbing situation. So I understand what you're talking about, but we also have to decide. All right, first of all, can we do it, and then how do we do it? You know, and right now it doesn't even look like we can even do it. I mean, correct, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to be much more specific, you know, in terms of what that funding would be for. Can I ask a sort of different question? Have you gone back to the county and asked for more money? Because you seem to have demonstrated the need. And I say that because the county is in the business of mental health. The town is not in the business of mental health. And that's one of the things they do talk about in there. What's a normal government service here? And certainly, you know, not to, you know, it's public record, but the county got $86 million in ARPA funds too, so.
And this is something the town, I would help you with it. I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, if you need to go to the legislature, if you need to talk to the county executive's office, I'll advocate for it. I think it's a worthwhile endeavor. You know, nobody here is saying that. So it's just, like I said, right now we're putting in a situation where, you know, we got to be sure we can even do it, first of all. And then if we can, we're limited by other town law that says $6,000. I know you asked for $25,000, and, you know, we're in a tough position.
Yeah, I modified that down to 16,000 for the specific needs of the volatile school district.
Well, it sounds like there's other sources of money. The school has got their ARPA money, and the county's got their ARPA money. And as Greg pointed out, the county is in the business of mental health. That's one of the things they do. Go to them. I would be really uncomfortable to give town money to the school district when the school district has a chunk of money of their own that they decided to spend how they wanted to spend it. So, Rob, I would encourage you to continue your conversation with the school district and find that $16,000 or $25,000.
I understand that. Just for the record, I mean, I was invited by Jeff Koudarakis. He invited me because you're providing ARPA funds to nonprofits. He's on board with what I'm doing. He's I didn't see something. Oh, I'm going to go after the town.
Yeah, no. Listen, nobody's criticizing. Yeah, I mean, the fact that you're here, I'd be here too if I was you.
Yeah.
I mean, so nobody's criticizing for that. Listen, you know, if it sounds like we are. You know, I mean, people. You know, we had the Plainville Fire Department come in. You know, we had some other groups come in, and we said no to, you know, a number of people so far. So, I mean, because, you know, for a number of reasons, you know. I mean, and certainly yours is one that is, you know, they're all worthwhile causes, believe me. Everybody that came in, it's all worthwhile. You know, it's just we have to, you know, we have to conform the law. And with me, at least from my perspective, if I'm not as sure as we can be, and this ARPA stuff is kind of weird. They don't give you specific guidance like, yes, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this. No, they give you kind of general guidance, and then they say, if later on we audit you and it's not a legitimate expenditure, then you are on the hook for it. What kind of stuff is that coming from the government? But that's the position we're in. That's why we retain Bonadale Group to give us guidance on that.
Yeah, I realize because I've done some research in some other towns and how they're handling this. It's very, very gray. It's very gray. I think there's something else that you're going to discuss tonight as far as processes for doing these things. I saw some very good processes where towns with their ARPA distributions had applications. They had published criteria. It has to be this, 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 or this. It's very open right here. There is no published criteria. There's no, you know, there's nothing you're out in the public with as to,
because we're not soliciting people to give it, because $1.9 million, we could spend that tomorrow on infrastructure tomorrow. So what we're trying to do is, okay, there may be other, like the ambulance corps. The ambulance corps is one of those entities that the town needs. They provide services that we need. If we didn't have them, what would we do? We would have to contract for a lot more money, but they do a good job at with volunteers and full-timers and things like that, but they rely, you know, they did have a big loss when it came to ARPA because of the way the they get paid by the insurance companies.
I'm just suggesting that the way the town has, it's been, there hasn't been anything specific, there hasn't been any transparency as to, you know, what the criteria
is. What's not transparent? Everything we do, we have public meetings on these things, and we talk about them in public, we have discussions about it, but amongst the board, how is that not transparent?
I think what he's trying to say is we don't have a formal process for people to understand. Is it worth taking my time to go to the town board? Or no, they're not looking at, you know, allowing expenditures, or those expenditures can't be allowed by law.
I you know what? I have to react to that. ARPA came down the pike in a short time away, a while ago. As the supervisor has stated, we could spend every penny of it on literally town of Lysander infrastructure needs. And we didn't say to people, you can't come to us, but we didn't invite anybody in either. And when the proposals come in, would you consider this and would you consider that? I kind of feel comfortable that we don't have a rigid protocol that we have to follow. You know, we're open and we listen. And sometimes what gets said back to groups is not what they want to hear. The Plainville Fire Department did not get the sign they wanted. Not that they didn't need a sign, but they didn't get it. The ambulance, which is a quasi-government service, in my opinion at least, is absolutely integral to the survival of the town of the greater Baldwinsville area. So giving them money to buy a truck seemed appropriate. I would rather be rather open-minded in terms of the proposals that we hear about, which means we say yes and we say no.
And here's what happened with that. Originally, and Greg, correct me if I'm wrong, originally it was very rigid on what you could spend ARPA funds on. Mm-hmm. It was infrastructure, it was water, sewers, public safety, and that was pretty much it. I mean, wasn't much more along with that. You couldn't spend it on other things. And then what I think happened was they just couldn't keep track of all of it. So if it was, they raised it up to $10 million, and now it's kind of like a free-for-all. But it is and it isn't, because if they end up auditing us and we're wrong, then we're on the hook to spend it. So they didn't give us any further guidance. They just said, well, you know, up to $10 million, you can kind of spend it on what you think you can spend it on. And that's why we didn't have, it wasn't like, hey, this is where you should give it. Originally it was just sewer, water, and infrastructure stuff. Not even roads, not even, you know, other stuff for the town.
So this is where I have a little bit of an issue. Again, I was under an invitation.
Yeah.
From Jeff Crudock.
Yeah. Okay. Sure, and he can do that.
And he did that. So I was under the impression that the town is providing these funds to nonprofits.
I don't know as though Jeff made that indication that we provide money to the nonprofits, because we can't. We've never done that, to my knowledge, and I've been here 10 years.
I have a specific email.
I understand you do, but that's from Jeff Koudarakis. You never called me. He never called me.
The last thing I'm going to do is, believe me, argue in front of this board. And then he should not have sent me that invite if you were not providing those funds to nonprofits.
And he's not here to explain. He's not here to explain his point. But we're not arguing with you. I mean, at least I'm not arguing with you. I mean, we just have, you know, he invited you because maybe he thought, you know, from his perspective, he thought that we could do it. But in checking with Greg and checking with Tony, we find out that, no, that's not, something that we can do. And
so then going back to the argument as far as process,
yeah,
there's no process here. You have one counselor telling a member of the community,
okay,
come to the board, I'll give you $25,000 was his number.
Okay.
And that's what I'm doing, and now I'm here telling no, we don't do that.
But here's the thing. We're all independent individuals.
But he should not have done that. Unfortunately, he's not.
Okay, but you could take that up with him. I can't make him do or tell him not to do something. If he chooses to do something, he's free to do that. Any one of the board members are. You know, now that doesn't.
He represents the board.
He doesn't represent the board. None of us represent the board. We represent ourselves as individuals, as part of the board. But this isn't, you know, nobody here has any more authority than anybody else when it comes to fiduciary decisions. So he, just like Mr. Rhode, he's got his own opinions. He's got his own ideas. He's free to invite people in, and any one of the board members doesn't.
I believe the invitation came because, you know, we had the Chamber of Commerce come in. We had the Baldensville Ambulance Corps come in. So my opinion would be that, you know, and obviously it's wrong. I have an email here that seems to say otherwise, but I'll have to look to see where I got it from. But that people could come and make presentations to the board to explain, you know, their issue or losses or what could be covered. And, you know, I don't think it was a promise of any kind of certain amount of funds because the board could say no.
Right.
But that, you know, people are allowed to present. I don't have a problem with anybody coming up that, you know, and then we have to discuss the legality of going into if we can spend the money.
Well,
so you know, I apologize if you were misled. I really thought, you know, it covered all the bases when it came to ARPA with mental health. You know, I'm reading an email that I got an excerpt of that says, yes, mental health services as a response to the pandemic is an eligible use. A contribution to an endowment would be a different expenditure, but if they had a specific plan for it, it might be allowed. But, you know, see below from the U.S. Treasury. Enumerated eligible uses include prevention, outpatient treatment, inpatient treatment, crisis care diversion programs, outreach to individuals not yet engaged in treatment, harm reduction, and long-term recovery and support. Enhanced behavioral health services in schools. I mean, seems like in that, which I'll try to get more information on it, that's why I was looking through my phone to find out where I got that part of the email. Seems like that covered all the bases, but obviously we didn't get good information, and I'll find out where
well,
we missed.
If you, in the Associations of Towns, they wrote an article on ARPA funding. And in Associations of Towns, they identified specific groups that towns could talk to as that the Associations of Towns identified as experts. And Greg Evans happened to be one with the Bonadale group. So he's right there, and that's what he's telling us. So I don't know who you're going to check with, because he's been identified as an expert by the Associations of Towns who does the vetting for them. That's why he is here. It's not my opinion. It's not anybody else's opinion. It's his professional opinion as well as our attorney. So who else would you go to?
No, I'm just going to find out where I got this excerpt of this email from. That's all.
Yes, ma'am.
I just came here because I had heard, I've never been to a meeting before. I've never spoken to anything before, mm-hmm. So this is my first. Because I did hear about the mental health mm-hmm. Aspect. And, you know, everybody knows that the pandemic affected the mental health of kids. I mean, that's just a given. And, I don't know how you keep it all straight, the towns, the rules, my head is spinning. But I think we all agree that as a society, as a community, and as an individual, we owe it to these vulnerable children. You know, we do. And so just, I hope that going forward that, you know, people can just keep this in their hearts and in their minds. And I know you have hard choices to make, and I know sewers, which is certainly important in every town, but I'm just here to say that that's important too. And these kids are gonna ask for what happened to them. And I don't think we know what's gonna happen to them in the future. I think that it's gonna be very tough for these kids at every level, my opinion. And we don't know what's gonna happen.
I don't think there's any disagreement from anybody here. Mm-hmm. The thing is, we're still bound by law.
I understand.
And that's the thing. So we can't, you know, even I'd love to give him money. I'd love to be able to spend that money any way that we want. We just can't, and we have to conform to the law. And that's
the problem. I'm here, I came here after work, and I just wanted my thoughts to be known.
Sure, appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Why don't, if you send me your email, I didn't get it because I looked, because I know Ms. Falcone here told me that you contacted her. I never got one, and I looked for it. So if you just put it under rwicks@townoflysander.org. We can, you and I can have some further discussions, and Mr. DeBarber, if you want to get involved, maybe we can do something on a county level and move in a direction, and you've identified some of those things, and if you're good with it, then I'll see if I can get something set up with the county, and we'll see what we can do on that level. How's that?
I think it's important. I think if there's a way to make it work, that'd be fantastic. The challenge I have, and I know this is heart strings and all this stuff, and Bob's going to get all grouchy, upset with me, but from my perspective, knowing those 30 kids are looking for services and don't have those services, I'm not blaming the town for not providing ARPA services. But damn it, if I hear about one more kid had committed suicide,
And we're in agreement. And like I said, we'll, you know,
I imagine it would be. I can't imagine why you would disagree with that.
I don't. And that's what I'm saying. I'll work with you towards trying to come up with a resolution that we can legally do. And let's, you know, send me an email, and I'll get back to you, and we'll try and set something up. Okay.
That's gonna be more on you than me, though, because I don't know what more I can do. From my perspective,
I would invite you to a meeting, and Mr. DeBarbery, with the people that, if I can get a meeting scheduled, I'll set up a meeting where the three of us could go, and I'll advocate for you.
That's an action. That's an action. That's good.
Yeah. Okay, I'll commit to that.
Okay. No,
all right.
That.
Okay. Thanks.
Can I say something here too? Again, very sorry for the loss. I come to all these meetings, and I see what this town board does and other boards do to cut back on costs, to save money, to do whatever they have to do, sometimes to the dismay of other people maybe that don't get what they'd like to get from the town because they are trying to be representative of the entire town, all of the taxpayers. I watch them cut corners, cut back things, keeping our services still in place. I would like to see the school do the same. I'm sure there are ways that costs can be cut, curtailed, whatever, and directed into areas like mental health, because it's a very, very critical issue. Maybe you've got to, you can't do all the remodeling or whatever you want to do.
Well, okay. All right. That's a whole other issue. So I know. Well, you know what? You know what? The Mr. DeBarbery and Ms. Vile are going to come in on April 20th. I got you down, so we can have those discussions then, and they can explain their position on the school budget. And I appreciate both of your times tonight. And we'll move forward with it, though. I'll try and help you out with it. You know, I'm sure we could probably do something.
It's important for this community.
Yeah, hey, I agree with you. My kids go to that school, too. So, all right. Thanks.
Thank you for both of your time.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Birch.
Hey, sorry for being late. The roads were quite greasy.
Okay. Well, you got about 5 minutes to bang that out.
All right. Well, I'll be at the next work study then.
You'll be what?
I'll come to the next work study then if I can.
Okay, well, we'll see what you got.
Okay, this isn't about public safety. I don't know where the misconception of that came from. And it's not about rocks.
Okay.
In the park. So, to scale this corner area of our park, if you see anything that, you know, isn't right or...
That's okay.
Okay. I got this area covered. I know you've already discussed what you want to do with this area. Other than that, is there any other changes you foresee in this area of the park other than what you plan on doing for here than what I have depicted?
Not what you got showing there, Spence Field and the parking lot.
Okay. I went down to the park to look at the rocks last week. When I came in here, and I pulled in and I parked right here, and before I went over to look at the rocks, it didn't take me 30 seconds to realize we have a bigger issue. We got a bottleneck. A point of traffic congestion that stops or severely slows the system, the inefficiencies brought about by a bottleneck often create heavy delays and higher costs. And here's why. We have only one exit entrance from this parking lot. It's 575 feet long, 69 feet on this end, 58
yep.
feet on this end.
Yep.
131 feet yep. loadout distance from the center line.
Mm-hmm.
And we only have one way to get out here. The first time we have a mechanical failure, an injury, an accident out in the road, somebody runs out of gas, it's going to bottleneck up this entire parking lot. And nobody's going to be able to get out. We only have a loadout distance of 5 to 6 cars at most to this stop line. So if somebody is then waiting to turn left here, where there's already five, we have a big gate, mm-hmm. soccer gate.
Yep.
This parking lot,
mm-hmm.
I took my $450 measuring device and pressed one button, and it told me this is a 110-car parking lot.
Okay.
With the measurements. So we have an event, 110 cars. We get 5-6 cars out to this light. We got a couple cars here, a couple cars here, a couple cars here. We got somebody who wants to turn right here and go to Candlewick.
How many?
Village of Baldwinsville.
Just 1 second. How many cars will that parking lot hold now?
I don't have a number off the top of my head. I mean, I know the new section was about 66.
66, okay.
Okay, so you got cars that are loaded up
yep.
here.
Yep.
This car wants to take a right and go here, but he
yep.
can't because there's a car waiting to turn left here still.
Okay.
Then we have cars that are here, and the drivers today are idiots, most of them. And I certainly we're going to have a situation where you go. Because
okay.
nobody knows the right way. I mean, we could have a situation after a soccer game here in the town life center at this intersection where we have more Yugos than most third world European countries. Okay? And so we have no way to get out of this parking lot if we have an emergency. An accident. There's two types of bottlenecks. You got a short-term, long-term. Short-term bottleneck, temporary, typically caused by construction, bad weather. And you got long-term ones. Those are a process, are baked into the process, and are usually caused by such things as poor planning. So, 30 seconds I was in here. By the way, this little vehicle, that's a vehicle over here, and that's a scale size. I had them also here, in here, but I didn't
I think I know where you're going. But what's your point?
I want to show you an idea that I got, how you could alleviate
the problem. Well, hold on. What's your point, though? Because, Mr. Yeager, why is that the way it is?
So we looked at putting keeping the existing driveway where the house was.
You had one here?
Yes, we did. We had one there.
Okay.
The problem is it was too close to the existing park exit, and there was concern that there would be a conflict with turning.
Fantastic.
So the other spot that we looked at was where the tree is that we tried to save.
Which is this large green yeah. plot
Let him finish, though.
And moving it closer to there, we had sight distance issues because of the tree.
Fantastic.
And we are trying to save the tree.
I love all those things.
Should I
continue?
No, hold on. So what other option was there other than doing what we did?
I don't have a good option.
Okay. Fred has an option. I'm not an engineer.
That's right.
I'm not a rocket scientist.
But here's the thing. We have an engineer, a town engineer, that designs these things based on knowledge of town codes.
And this is not a jib on ale.
Okay.
This is, I don't know what it is, but listen, we have.
You have about a minute left, Fred.
We have the only parking lot in Dodge County that does not have interconnectivity. In other words, the way to get from these parking lots to these parking lots without leaving our parking lot, going on a public road, and then turning back into our park. We're the only park in our county that has that. And that's ridiculous. If you're somebody like Bob Grassi, who has the difficulty walking, you're going to have to do that. You're not going to go and see your son, your granddaughter play soccer here, and then walk all the way down here to see your grandson play tennis. I can do that. A lot of people can't. So here's the solution. We take our exit that was here that was not equidistant in our parking lot, and we move that more equidistant. We have three lanes. We have one that comes in, we have one that only goes out and turns left. You can double the load of vehicles here. Then you have a lane that turns right, so there's nobody, but they can come and go this way if you want. You have interconnectivity on the road. This is only 58 feet down here. By the time you get those cars that I depicted side by side right here, there's not enough room to turn out on that. So why don't you dedicate this area to an interconnected road? If you have an emergency, vehicles can leave this way, cross the line, and come out and leave. If vehicles can come down this way and go down to the other areas of the park. You can have a bike trail that comes down here and dead ends. These are posts that prevent vehicles from coming out and going that way. This is all bike racks, and this is dedicated motorcycle spots. You hump this out so vehicles know not to park that way. You only got 58 feet here. By the time you got vehicles parked against each other, there is not enough room to turn out.
Okay.
So, if you have an interconnecting road, it provides people the ability to go to other areas in our park and utilize that without having to leave our park. And it allows another exit in case there is an accident or somebody hit or an accident out in the road here. It just makes sense. All you gotta do is have a little bit less field. I'm not an engineer. I just got 3 college degrees, 3 BOCES degrees, and a master's degree in common sense. And I saw that in a matter of 30 seconds when I was able to go to look at rocks.
All right.
That's much more efficient. Everybody that I've talked to in the town, 200 people so far, including 2 former highway superintendents, said, wow, Scott, Fred, that's about a, that,
okay.
That's a great idea.
I'll tell you what, we'll... Mr. Yeager is taking.
We can do this in-house. We don't need to hire out anybody to do this. We can do this with what we got in the town and make our park better.
There's reasons why we do things, and it's all based on engineering and traffic and.
I understand that.
And vehicle and traffic laws and things like that.
I understand that.
Mr. Yeager saw it, so I'll have a conversation with him about that.
I'm not aware of the state, the county, and the town. All I can come in is with my ideas.
Okay.
I don't understand it how a lifelong parks commissioner, lifelong school guy, and a lifelong public safety didn't see something where we would have a bottleneck there. First accident, and then you've got 80, 60, 70 cars waiting to get out. You're going to have some irate soccer moms.
Well, we've had that in there since July and haven't had one accident there.
The improvement of the parking lot was just relatively recently, and that stayed at 2 exits until maybe a month before the park closed. We didn't have any huge events there this summer. Next summer we'll be telling it'll be a big thing. I don't want an accident to happen there.
Neither
do
I.
It's just a matter of, and why do we want people leaving our park to maybe re-enter our park because they want to go to a different area? That doesn't make any sense. And even another park in our county that has that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate for being late. Greasy roads.
Okay, we got 5 minutes. Now we can We can move this on to town board comments. There's some other things that you put on here, Mr. Rode. You want to bring, you want to carry those over when you have your opportunity to speak? We can talk about them then.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So the Uniform Construction Code update local law. Okay.
So this is a state mandate, just a quick review. A few changes that are substantial. Our code currently has an exemption for swing sets and playground equipment. If it's a homeowner putting up a swing set, they didn't have to get a permit. That change, it's no longer allowed as an exemption anymore. I think we need to do some work on our code for food trucks with the new code. I haven't gotten an answer from the state Department of State on that, but that's something that we'll probably have to address that in the new year as well, because that's a component of the uniform fire code now. So those are the biggest things. The reason we didn't move on this now is it's actually supposed to be implemented before the 1st of January. By state mandate, we're in violation. So
that's why we have the.
That's exactly why we have.
That's the hearing.
Hearing on the,
yeah.
On the 4th. So that, I just wanted everybody to understand why we're.
That's for number
moving.
D.
We're probably ahead of ourselves in that we haven't addressed the food truck thing, but at least we can have the code adopted, and it's not food truck season anyway. We can cross that bridge.
So the state is telling us we have to codify swing sets?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the biggest change that will affect the public.
Okay.
Well, we're setting the public hearing for the 5th anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's the biggest thing that will affect the public. Previously, there was an exemption. You don't necessarily have to charge, but we're supposed
right.
to make sure that they're safe and anchored. And, it's a part of the building code. There's no exemption allowed.
So who's going to write those two things on the swing sets, or is they
already? It's included. We're adopting. That's
already,
part of the building code.
There.
We just have to adopt it. Our current code allowed for an exemption for swing sets.
And what about the food trucks? Is that already detailed?
No, we don't have anything in our code about that.
We have to do that.
Yes.
So who's going to do that?
Well, I'm working on what we should be doing to get an answer out of the Department of State of what we should be doing.
All right.
This is. Just to let you know, this is the local law that they sent us.
Yeah.
It's yeah, and they sent it to us late and said, hurry up.
I was going
to
say, we didn't even get it. We got it forwarded to us from the planning board.
So, Al and I have been talking about going through this because there's a lot of stuff in here. I shouldn't say a lot. There's stuff in here that we could eliminate altogether because it doesn't apply to our town
right.
parking garage.
Right.
So, we've had to go through this, but we can set the public hearing using this as the basic law. And I can tell you that when we adopt it, it's going to be less than what's here, because there's stuff here that we don't need. But we still have to go. We still have to make do what the state says we have to do. So.
Right.
Okay.
We're
good.
Done.
Good with them.
Good.
Okay. So that was motion D. That's why it's on there.
Okay.
Okay. The other ones are. These are yours, right? Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
ARPA, to just sum it up, I mean, we'll talk about secretary and Millings and the board meeting, right? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, we can do that then. Yeah.
ARPA, after Rob's emails to us, and, I think we should set some kind of process for people.
Well,
just to understand, here's the guidelines from Bonadio Group that we're following as a board, so people either know or don't know. Or
I think what we should do is get a list of priorities first to see if we even are going to entertain anything, if there's going to be any other money out there. There's a couple of things that we're doing that are going to eat into that fund. We're down to about $1.4 million now, and I think we have encumbered or agreed to encumber about another $150,000 of that. So then we have to see. We got a couple other things that are coming up that we might have to allocate a substantial amount of money to. And then after that, we can talk about anything. And if you want to, once we get past that, if we just have to spend it before before December of 26, we have to encumber it by December of 24, so we have some time. We don't have to jump into anything. Some things we need to do, you know, right. like the sewers and the water, we need to do that. But other things, we have time to talk about them and make decisions on them. And if we want to do that, bring people in, okay. If we want to allocate a certain amount of money, that's a legitimate expenditure, according to Mr. Evans, then, you know, we'll move on.
Okay.
It's 6:59, and we'll call the work session closed. All right. Anybody got a yield to the breath? Mm-hmm. Can we open up the other meeting?